Global Birds. Welcome to showbizmonkeys.com.
Around this town, I'm alright. Around this town, I'm alright.
I mean, no consequence when you're playing with the bat.
You're about to launch your Still Detroit tour, tracing your journey from Michigan to Hollywood. That's November 30th.
Yes.
And I know people can get tickets at your website. What inspired you to go on this tour, to retrace this journey?
Well, one, I've always been a stand-up, and it was always annoying, like, when I would do films, right? And I would do these movies, and I would go on the comedy clubs, and then every time I went to go shoot my special, even now, right now, the track just ended, I'm about to go on tour, it's hilarious. I got to be back on set. It's kind of like this rhythm that happens. So I said, you know what, forget it. I'm going to do it. I want people to know me. I want them to know who I am. I want them to know my family. And my grandmother passed and about almost a year ago, so about 7 months. And I saw her and I was like, they don't make people like this anymore. You know, and when she died, it's like I wanted to kind of have an art piece that was dedicated to her and the family. Because a lot of people know me as the black guy from Tropic Thunder, the real black guy from Tropic Thunder, the Percy Jackson, you know, a GOAT guy, Bow Wow's friend or whatever, but they don't know me, Brandon T. Jackson. And that's really kind of, that was for me a little bit annoying because I have such a great American story. You know what I mean? For my father being a gangster turned pastor who from the prison to the palace, he'd served time and moved his children to a better neighborhood and raised 9 kids and you know and had the church going and community service and philanthropy. I mean, this is a great American story. Mm-hmm. And we don't see this in a lot of African American cultures too. And they have the grandmother and both my grandmothers, the whole, you know, we weren't perfect family, but just having a whole family together, I wanted to kind of show that element and have people see that imaging of from a perspective of from an African-American perspective and from my personal story. So it really hit me when my grandmother passed. I'm like, I want to tell my story about my family. And, you know, that's what it's about. Homage to my family, to be honest.
That's beautiful. On the tour, you're going to be partnering with a lot of BIPOC businesses in which is an awesome way of involving the local communities. Can you tell me a bit about that?
So yeah, we offer, I do giveaways every city and I go to businesses where we give away the PS5s or, you know, different tickets and things like that. So we have the businesses partner with us and we give publicity with those businesses. Say I'm on the radio. I say, hey, look, I'm going to be at such and such cafe. Y'all make sure y'all come here. We're giving away 5 free tickets and the PS5. Everybody come through. And then we do autograph sign, open store, talking, meet and greets, you know, a mixer where people can just kind of come out and kind of like a pop-up shop and kind of have this little gathering before and bringing, you know, these businesses together and bringing the whole community to a place where people can enjoy and have some marketing and awareness for a lot of these BIPOC businesses. And it's tough because, you know, BIPOC businesses don't get the love. And sometimes we skip over them because of the big corporations, which is great. But at the same time, it's like, I want to show love to the community. This is a grassroots tour. You know, this is such a grassroots tour and meeting the people where I started. You know, I started in Detroit. You know what I mean? People don't get it. If it wasn't for me, you know, going, and I got a lot of testimonials. I can't wait to shoot them. I got a lot of testimonials from the people that knew me back in the day. Yo, you used to do this, you used to do that. So that's going to be shot on the special where they talk about where I used to skip school and go to the comedy clubs, and then I would get booed, and I would go back and kill it, and then, you know, that made me tough to go be able to do Apollo at 18. And then from Apollo, I did Comic View. From Comic View, I did Roll Bounce. Roll Bounce, I did Wild 'N Out. From Wild 'N Out, I did Tropic Thunder. It was like, I just stayed on it, you know? And I going back to that, it's kind of like my Rocky 3, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Now, we all have our own paths to the stage. What inspired you to start doing stand up at 14?
Well, I started with my dad as a pastor. I would watch him preach, but he was so funny.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I want to be funny on the stage. Like, I want to tell cool stuff, but I don't want to be a preacher. And I was like, what does that? And I remember looking at the mic stand, and it was after church one day, and my dad was just like walking around, you know, running the business, getting everything, you know, with the whatever, you know, I guess, you know, it could be leaks around the church, or whatever, but he's just doing maintenance with all, you know, the people in the community, the guys, deacons, and the guys that work at the church. And I look at the mic stand, I'm like, you know what? I want to be a comedian. I never forget that. So I want to be a comedian. And I was like, I want to be on stage and just kind of tell jokes, but I want to heal people through laughter. I want people to see society through laughter. And I never forget that. I was like 14. And I was like, yeah, I'm gonna do that. And I remember saying that in my spirit, like, yeah, I'm gonna be this comedian. And it was just natural. I mean, I watched my father perform it, and I started doing these talent shows, throwing these little talent shows at the high school, a middle school, church. Started throwing these little local shows, and then I went on the road with a guy named Horace H.B. Sanders, who was the local comic back then, and he would just take me under his wing and bring me to all his shows, and I would just sit back and watch him. And I was like 15 then, and he brought me to like Canada, Montreal, you know, the festivals. And I would just follow him. And
that's awesome. Now, did you ever, growing up, did you have a favorite comedian or album or special that really inspired you or you really enjoyed?
Eddie Murphy, Raw, loved it. Delirious, of course. Killing Them Softly, Bring the Pain, Chris Rock, Bigger and Blacker, Chris Rock.
Mm-hmm.
I used to quote that every day, Bigger and Blacker.
All great specials.
Yeah.
Now, you've performed across the country, and I know a lot of rooms are very different, but have you ever found something that like can bring every audience together, like something that unifies everybody when you're up there and making them laugh?
Yeah, it does, but right now it's so separate. Unifying people, we used to be able to unify everybody in comedy. That's what's frustrating right now. The internet has caused too many niche social groups where it's so much interest in that. And if you say, I did a joke about this a little bit because I got mad. I did a joke about a tree, and the TREE people came and told me I can't say TREE. You know what I mean? And I said sorry. Then the SOR people came out and said I can't say sorry. So I was doing the whole thing, like every word I was saying, there was a group for it, right?
Yeah.
Improv, and it wasn't a real bit, but it got me kind of mad because everything I was saying, there was a group for it. So it wasn't like that when we were doing comedy. It was more like we knew everybody was there. To me, it was more together before everyone, all the awareness of everyone's social groups have come to life. And it's kind of like you want to be sensitive to it, but then you don't want to, you still got to be funny. So it's like we've always made fun of our insecurities was what made us funny. Mm-hmm. The things are trying to overcome is what made us always funny. Our vulnerabilities, there you go. Our vulnerabilities is what made us funny. So if you pick out a vulnerability in a social group that's vulnerable, they tend to think you're not loving them. But it's the total opposite. You're trying to find a way to find the common ground, because comedy is about finding the common ground and vulnerability for the most part, you know? So that humanizes everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when you can humanize people and not dehumanize people, you're able to, that's where the comedy comes in. You know, it comes from a dark place. It comes from a vulnerable place, from more of a lower chakra, you should say, place where you're, you know, could be coming from a relationship that broke up, things, the troubles you have at home, or the absurdities of life over here. So when you're doing that and trying to bring a unifying front, it's a little challenging. It's hard to do that. It's very hard.
I've got one last question for you. I want to thank you very much for taking the time to chat with me. So I try to ask this of everybody I speak with, because, you know, I have friends who've done comedy shows at bachelorette parties, at clothing optional beaches, on rafts floating down a river. What is the most bonkers sort of unexpected comedy experience that you have ever had?
Oh my God, that's a good one. Oh my God, I got, it's a bunch of them, but let me give you the most roughest experience of a Jamaican club in Brooklyn while music is playing, while the DJ is playing.
Oof.
And they put the horns on you, like the blah, blah, blah.
Oh, no.
Like, I'm like, how is this a comedy night? And it's like, they just play the music in the middle, and you like talking, and go, buh, 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 buh. I'm like, man, get the fuck out of this shit. This ain't no comedy club. This is ridiculous. So, performing in the Jamaican club I think it was Brooklyn. Yeah, Brooklyn or Queens. I think it was Queens. Queens. It was Queens. I think it was Queens. And at 2 a.m. with 40 comics trying to get 5 minutes while the DJ's playing music. I think that was the most ridiculous experience I've had in comedy. One of them.
Well, thank you very much. I'm really looking forward to seeing your tour and seeing the special. Have fun.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for taking the time to chat with me.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you.